This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody at TFMR and the greater investment world. Hey, this is time for another one of your special podcasts where we talk to a CEO in the natural resources sector. And I've got something a little bit different for you today. This is kind of a direction we've not gone before. But as you know, my interest in Eastern Europe, we've been tracking Ukraine and the Donbass and this Ukraine crisis now for over 8 years. And the economic ramifications of that are now being felt. And because we've been tracking it, Carrie Lutz reached out to me about, I don't know, week, 10 days ago, and said, hey, there's a company that I work with that would you mind taking a look at it? It's a small natural gas company that is poised to benefit by maybe supplying some of the gas that is being lost in Europe because of this, this tenuous situation with Russia and Ukraine. So I started looking at it and kicking the tires. I thought, yeah, this looks interesting. I don't know much about natural gas, but that's fine because the CEO of this company called Trillion Energy is Dr. Art Halloran. And Art's been he has a PhD in geology. He's got 40 years of experience in petroleum exploration all around the world. And this company of his, Trillion Energy, has been around for over a decade and is now rather uniquely positioned due to the geopolitics of all this in 2022. And so, hey, let's take a look at it. Art, thank you for taking some time to visit with me.
Yeah, thanks for the great intro. It was good to listen to.
Well, you've got quite the background and you've got quite the company that is, like I said, I mean, I think it's an interesting company regardless. But then when you factor in the geopolitics of all this, it's got me intrigued. If I understand, let's dive right into Trillion. You've been there. The company's been around for over a decade. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So initially we were in Bulgaria, and then around 2017, there was an opportunity to purchase a large offshore Black Sea, Turkey, natural gas field and facilities for pennies on the dollar because of a distress sale. Mm-hmm. So we picked it up and we went through the regular process. So we now are sitting with four offshore platforms, subsea gathering system, onshore gas facility. They discovered 8 gas pools, but they only put 4 on production in around 2007. And so now we were in the process of directionally drilling from the platform to tag into the other 4 gas pools that were not produced. At the same time, there are 10 other development locations. And we had raised some money. And so we have the rig and everything lined up for the summer drilling start. And initially it was a pretty rough start with the company, but once there was the invasion with from Russia into the Ukraine, Turkey gets 90% of its oil imported, mm-hmm. and over 50% of that is from Russia. And just recently now, Bulgaria had their gas turned off. Poland had their gas turned off.
Yep.
The Ukraine had to turn off a gas line. And so now we're seeing $18 an MCF for gas in this area. And it is in a very tight, supply.
And it's May, for crying out loud. You know, I was all over my site and on Twitter talking about how I knew this was going to be a long, cold, deadly, and dangerous winter. Worried that gas prices were going up even before the Ukraine crisis turned into a hot war. And I just can't imagine, Art, how bad this might get by 6 months from now when we're turning around going back into winter. Because even if you think, okay, maybe they somehow fight to a stalemate or, you know, some peace agreement is found or something, and the damage is done geopolitically. It's hard to imagine a situation where all that Russian gas comes back online anytime soon, isn't it?
It's never gonna be the same again. It's like having a divorce, and you're not gonna be able to, make the relationship work again. And what's happened right now is that everybody's talking about, not using Russian gas. So they're trying to come up with some alternatives, but every alternative you're looking at 2, 3, 4 year time. So that they want a liquid natural gas. They have to have an unloading place. That's billions of dollars. They're talking about getting gas from different areas, and it's just going to be a long time for that. Whereas, like with Trillium there, when we start drilling our wells in the summer, we'll be putting on a well about every 45 days, and each well will produce about 4 million cubic feet per day. Now, our partner is a Turkish petroleum company, and we're 49%. But you can imagine the way we got it done is that we have the reserves that we're going to put on, and that's 5 new wells and 2 recompletions, and we'll have all those on by December 2022, January 2023, right into the high winter gas price, right? And the and what when I was talking with the governments, they want as much gas of their own because they say their storage facilities are 60, 30, 50% full, and every MCF they pull out of their storage facility hurts them. So they like to get as much domestic production as possible. So, like, we did all our economics at $9, and we were looking at an NPV 10 of about 170 million just for these smaller projects. We have a whole bunch of other projects on the same block, and now we're talking double that price. So you're talking 340 million. So it's a different world right now.
And as I relate this to, what we normally talk about on my site, which is precious metal exploration and discovery, people think one, buying something at pennies on the dollar because the price of the actual resource in the ground is not economical to draw it out. I mean, that happens all the time. And there are all kinds of companies that folks own in gold where, the mine just, it's just not economical at $1,200 an ounce or, $1,400. So people were accumulating properties back then. But then you had to still go in and, you stake it and you drill it and you assay it and you do all these things to try to prove up what's there. But that's not what we're talking about here. You know what you've got. And so when you're talking about a drilling program, you're going in to actually extract it out, correct?
That's correct. So the first 17 activities, and that's like, three recompletions, and the rest are all wells, are basically known reserves. So the first bunch is a reserve. We have a third-party engineering report saying that this is it. It's here. That's what we call Program A. That's the 5 new wells and 2 recompletions. Then we have a development program. And when you have a well, so we have the wells that were drilled, tested, and mapped, but they were never put on production. If you have the pool extend past a certain distance from it, the engineering, the third party can't give it 100% for sure. So now it becomes a development location. So that's where the other 10 locations come from. They're about, 90%, 50%, but predominantly they have the same AVO structure, anomaly as a seismic. So, like you say, it's there. There is no exploration. We're not doing an exploration on this block. Right now, it's just to get the gas on. And how we picked it up for pennies on a dollar was, was owned by a company that was in other parts of the world, and not this project, but another project caused them to have problems. So then the bank seized it. There was no reserve report, and there was no value given to the facility. So we picked it up for $2.7 million,
Oh my
and it
gosh.
already had an oil field that was NPV 10 of 6 million. We still have that oil field. And so what we did was we just got a third-party engineering report, and once you have that, you have the value, it turned out we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And the other thing that's different is that we are not drilling a well in the ocean directly down. So then we have a subsea tie-in, subsea completion. We're actually reaching out from the existing platforms, and we're doing a long reach directional drill. Mm-hmm. We tag into the pool, we recomplete, we produce right up our borehole, right into our own facilities, our own platforms, our own drill system, I mean, pipe gathering system. And that's why it's 45 days. It's not, you know, 6 months to get right. the production on. And we're going to capture the high price of the gas there.
And I think even if you're not familiar with oil and oil services and the rest, I think people know who Schlumberger is. And recognize them as that's the premier oil services company or net, you know, whatever energy services company in the world. Two things I'd like to ask you about. One, you've raised, did a capital raise to kind of put all this together, contract Schlumberger, get all this thing rolling. I would assume you're good on that end for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about just a balance sheet and market cap of your company and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we actually have engaged a broker banker and for advice on financing. And so we're in the process of getting our financing. We just need, it was initially about $23 million to start this program. And what happened, there's only one rig in the Black Sea that we can drill in this depth water because it's not really deep. It's kind of like shallow, but it's not really shallow. And it was coming up. And so we wanted to seize that rig so that we could start drilling in the summer. At the same time, we did some analysis on COVID, you know, supply chain issues. And we found out there were some long lead items that we needed to order and purchase. So we went out and did a non-brokered private placement. And initially we were looking at raising, you know, about $10 million, but the appetite was such because of the way things turned out that I end up closing it off at about 18 million Canadian. I could have grabbed a lot more, but I didn't want to cause that dilution.
Right.
So that money now has allowed us to secure the rig. We already paid $1.8 million. We've already purchased, now it's probably about $4 million worth of long lead items. And then with, the reason why these pools, like that's one of the questions people ask is they say, yeah, but why weren't these pools ever put on if they were proven and tested? Well, in 2006, 2007, they were comfortable doing directional drilling with a, like the stratigraphic level to about 2 kilometers, you know, 1.5, 2 kilometers. Well, some of these are 2.4, 2.7 kilometers. And so they didn't want to touch it. Whereas since then, it's now just bread and butter. I mean, a lot of companies do that. And so we hired Schlumberger, and also we have some other good people we brought on to engineer the trajectories right down to the tubing size, where we're going to put the casing,
wow.
all that, to make sure that these were all drillable, and they are. And that's also was the game changer to drill from the platform. And we're going to be using Schlumberger's directional tools, people, everything, because they're the best for that, is about $4 to $5 million cheaper drilling, and also saves us about $3 million subsea tie-in. So that's where the economics really changed. And then, so we were going to make good money at $9, and then now at $18 US and MCF, it's just unheard of.
And I guess the last time you looked, your general market cap of just shares you got outstanding and where the stock is trading puts you about what?
Yeah. So we're about, I would say about 75 million US, and just on the reserve program A and development program B, mm-hmm. at the $9, this is at the $9, the third party engineering report was 170 million. But we management estimate was about 250 million. And that was because we just got the proper recovery factor. And plus we were penalized at 10% by the engineering group by saying, if you don't get the money, we're going to risk it by 10%. Well, yeah. We got the money, but at double that price, that's 500 million. That's our percentage, right? And we have about, probably 300 million shares out right now. And a lot of that's about 100 million is that COVID paper, what I call. But at the same time now, when we start doing the cash flows, where our EBITDA is about 100 to 140 million a year. So it depends what multiple you want. If you want to use sure. three, some people say use four, some people says two, but it doesn't really matter. It shows you that we're again talking, $400-500 million just on those two programs. And then we have a kind of a low risk expiration program on the block. It's just a stratigraphic, which would double it. So you can see that our market cap, we're very undervalued.
And again, as you look at this geopolitical situation, it's hard. I mean, I'd love to have it go back to the way it was, right? I mean, nobody likes to see what's been going on, but I think any realist looks at it and goes, yeah, they're just, I mean, you can't do that kind of destruction, have this, this turn around and everybody all, it's peace in our time or anything like that anytime soon. And as winter approaches and these shortages get worse, I mean, the economics of it just make all sorts of sense that the price would go higher. Your calendar, as you said, Art, is kind of in the back half of this year, you're going to start extracting this gas?
That's correct. So we're actually, it depends what we want to do, but we can start getting the gas per well within 45 days. So we drill the well, 40 something days, recomplete and bring it on. So if we start drilling the well in August, we can bring that one on September. And then we basically bring one on every 45 days. And what we have projected is that around December 2022, all seven reserve activities will be on production. And we had envisioned that, we'd be making about $3.4 million free cash flow per month after all costs. And that's at $9. So now you're talking double that. And that's just the first program. And that's going to capture the winter. So what's going to happen is the country draws out of their storage facility. They pump gas into reservoirs in the ground. And then over the wintertime, they draw that out. So they're going to be getting pretty hungry in January, February, when our gas is going to be like, that's going to be our main production. And that's, you're going to see the price of gas even go up higher at that time. Yeah. I mean, in Bulgaria right now, because we have a large property in Bulgaria, but it's unconventional. We have a third party reserve report, or sorry, resource report that says it's got one TCF, trillion. Original gas in place. And there they're getting $22 an MCF.
So, yeah, and I was going to ask you about, because that's where the company originally started. Is that, I don't know if economically feasible is the right way to put it, but at these higher prices, does that get more online as well?
Well, the main issue with the property that we had in Bulgaria was not that wasn't gas, because there is gas. There's gas in tighter sandstone. There's gas in the coal. There's a lot of gas. It's just that in those days, Gazprom controlled all the because they didn't want Bulgaria to have their own gas, and so they end up putting a there was a frack ban, and so you can produce gas in coals by doing cavity and many multilateral. And with the tighter sands, but a frack works pretty good. But right now, there's a lot of talk about changing the rule again. So that project is sitting there, and we were looking at it. The only reason why we didn't proceed with it is we were getting the environmental impact for the whole project done. And then COVID came, and to do the environmental, you have to have like open houses. You got to have town hall meetings.
Yeah,
and of course,
I would imagine.
COVID, you just couldn't. Yeah. And so we've now starting to do it again. But the thing about it is I want to focus on SASB. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for a farming partner for the Bulgarian one.
And again, SASB is your Black Sea. It's the shallow water in the Black Sea off the coast of Turkey. That's what we've been talking about.
That's correct. And because I know that every dollar I put in that property for the next 3-4 years, I'll be getting return very, very quick.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And again, just to remind everybody too, I mean, this is not just, hey, we're going to take it out. You've got the infrastructure as well. You've got the pipeline to take it out of there. And then it goes to the principal buyer of it. Then how does that at the end, what's the end of that pipeline?
Yeah. So what makes this as a fantastic project is that it has four assets, and I'll get to the buyer here in a sec. The first asset is the infrastructure, very good shape, four platforms, pipelines, a 75 million cubic feet per day facility on shore that can be uprated to 150. We have gas pools that are proven but not produced. We know exactly how they're going to behave because we've produced four from birth to death. It's like having, I mentioned once before, it's like having, you know, you bought 8 cars, you drove 4 cars, and the other 4 are sitting in the garage. You know exactly how they're going to perform. The other asset I got is the same engineers and people are there that were there in 2000 and that did the project. And so they're actually the ones that are doing the procurement right now and getting all the drilling ready and so on. And the fourth asset is Turkey was always a high price environment. And now it's even a higher price.
Yeah.
So that you have no shortage of buyers. So our buyer is an industrial buyer. The price is set by the government. But even if they decide that they're going to not buy, there's like 100 other groups waiting to buy that gas because the consumption of gas in Turkey is increasing about 15%, 20% a year because they're making larger, distribution lines and so on. But like I say, we sell to an industrial buyer. And so the sales pipe is right at the edge of our facility. It goes into the offtake sales pipe, right? Perfect. So everything is just tied right in.
Well, I find this all fascinating. One just because I just think it's interesting and the geopolitics and the situation, and inflation and energy and how all this stuff ties together. And I'm just glad that we got a chance to meet and talk, Art, because I just think your company sounds fascinating. And the same disclaimer applies that we always talk about with our precious metals stocks. You don't just take my word for it. You don't take Art's word for it. You got to do your own homework. You got to do your due diligence. You got to assess whether it fits things like this fits your risk tolerance and your time horizons, all of that stuff. You can start your due diligence with some of the links that you'll find on this page. We'll put a link to the Trillion Energy website, to their investor presentation, their stock symbols. You can look them up. TCF, Trillion Craig Frank. In Canada, TRLEF here in the US. You can pull up a chart. You can search out all the financials, everything else. This is now you got to kind of, as a listener, you take it from here and see if this is something that works for you. But Art, I got to tell you, I keep saying the word fascinated. I find this very, very interesting. I hope we can speak again soon because I think the back half of this year is going to be really, really interesting for your company.
No, that's correct. And thank you for this chat. It's been just great.
It has been great fun. And I want to thank you as well, Art. Best of luck keeping very busy and putting all this online here in the back half of the year. Let's make sure we keep in touch. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Be sure to check out Trillion Energy.